Broadcasting coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee. It's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging deplorable.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. Well, howdy do, America. Todd Starnes here. Welcome to hour two of the Todd Starnes Radio Show, an extravaganza. We're having a lot of fun here today, folks, and we're going to get to your calls here momentarily. Hang tight. I've got to share this breaking news with you. They have just announced the first moderator of the Trump-Biden presidential debate, and this is a doozy. You know, I've noticed they always hire the leftist. They always get the liberal journalist to moderate these things, and for the very first time in history, they have selected a Fox News anchor to moderate the debates. Chris Wallace, who is not exactly a raging conservative and has had some big problems with our president. So we're going to take your calls on this. You think that's a good move to have Chris Wallace as the moderator of the Trump-Biden presidential debate? 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. We're going to get to that story in just a moment. A lot of people in Memphis, Tennessee are enraged over what happened at Graceland. And there were several other icons around the city that were targeted. But people are just fired up that Black Lives Matter would go out there and would desecrate the burial site of Elvis Presley, the king of rock and roll. Cut number four, please.
This is totally uncalled for. One of the saddest days of my life. I mean, besides the day that Elvis passed away, this right here is probably right up next to it.
It's a terrible thing that's happened, and a lot of people are just really fed up. They're tired of BLM going out there and desecrating memorials, tearing down the monuments, causing all sorts of mayhem, and forcing people to take a knee and bow down to their agenda. So let's go to the phones here. Sue has been holding on for a while from Memphis, Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM. Sue, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Todd. Well, I'm one of those Memphians that is outraged over what happened at Graceland, the Leavitt Shell, our first responders. It just breaks my heart what's happening in Memphis just this week. And my question is, I don't understand why our mayor, Mayor Strickland, hasn't come forward and issued some kind of statement to these thugs that Memphis is just not going to put up with that kind of stuff. He hasn't said anything. He's been very quiet. I mean, I think the public needs to hear from him. I think these thugs need to know that Memphis is not going to tolerate that. Our Governor Lee came out with a bill not long ago, and I think it was SB 8005 or something like that. He said what Tennessee was going to do to rioters and people that destroyed property. Where is Strickland?
Sue, I have a confession to make. You know, Sue, I was born and raised here, you know, grew up in Memphis.
Yes.
And I had never been to Graceland until a couple of months ago. You know, when you grow up here, you really don't think about that kind of stuff. And, of course, it's a massive tourist destination. But our operations manager for the radio station, huge Elvis guy, he's a huge Elvis fan. He grew up in Albania. And so Elvis is, like, apparently very big and very popular in Albania. So he wanted to go to Graceland. So we took him over there, and we went through the tour. It was just really moving, and so it was just a fun event. And I would encourage you, go. If you haven't been to the Graceland tour and the experience, it's a lot of fun. But, Sue, here's something I observed. The hundreds of people that are employed in a pretty run-down part of town that is being revitalized, and most of them are minorities. And my question is, do black jobs matter to people? Because people are not going to go to that area of town if there's going to be an increase in violence and desecration. That's a big problem.
Yes, Yes, it is.
And to your point, Sue, that, you know, I hadn't even thought about that, but you're right. The mayor of Memphis has not made any kind of a public statement about what happened at Graceland or any of the other iconic spots in Memphis. And to your point, and folks, so for the broader audience, there has been a rash of attacks on firefighters in Memphis. This ought to be a national news story. But whenever the firefighters go out to battle a blaze, when they come back, all of their vehicles have been broken into and their possessions stolen. It's reprehensible what's happening here. But you know what? Not a word out of City Hall about that. Not a word out of the City Council, which, by the way, here in Memphis, run by AOC-style radicals. They actually have the votes to rename a very popular street here, Black Lives Matter Avenue. So, Sue, I guess the easy answer here is Mayor Strickland is not responding, is not denouncing the Black Lives Matter violence because he, A, is scared, and B, is a Democrat. That's my best guess.
And you're probably right, and I'm just really upset over the whole thing. He needs to get on TV and denounce this. If he doesn't, it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. If they think they can just get away with all of this stuff, they'll just continue on. He needs to put an end to this now.
Sue, you just,
before someone gets hurt.
You just knocked the ball right out of the park here, Sue. That's it. If there is not a strong rebuke and punishment, if there is not a price to pay, this is just going to continue. It's going to get worse. And let me ask you this. What do you think would have happened, Sue? Because this story did not get that much national attention, what happened at Graceland. Let me ask you this. What do you think would have happened if they would have done something like that to the Lorraine Motel in downtown where MLK got shot? Not only would it have been national news, Sue, I'm going to answer this question for you, Sue. Not only would it have been national news, I guarantee you every civil rights leader, Barack Obama, would be marching in the streets of Memphis, Tennessee, demanding payback.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
And I don't mind saying that, Sue. We're politically incorrect around this joint, but that's the reality of it. And it's not right. It is not right. So
it isn't right.
Sue, thank you for calling in. I hope you're enjoying KWAM. We've made a few changes around the place.
I am enjoying it. I was listening earlier with Marsha Blackburn and everything. I was loving it. And she is so right about the women and the guns. I've had a gun for a long time, but haven't had a carrying permit. I start my lessons next week.
Well, good for you, Sue. Good for you.
But she's right. And mm-hmm. A lot of my girlfriends are coming with me.
Well, I'll tell you what. You know, my Aunt Lynn, who plays the organ at her Methodist church, she's in charge of security. So she packs heat right there on the organ bench. So she plays Amazing Grace, and she can squeeze off a couple of rounds without missing a beat, Sue. That's because she's a Southern woman. All right, Sue.
Love your show, too.
You're kind to say that. All right. Thanks a lot, Sue. Oh, that's true. You don't want to mess with the Southern ladies. And you know, we should have asked Sue and Grace Baker. You can turn your microphone on. You know, Sue probably has like a bedazzled pistol.
Yeah, it's probably hot pink.
Hot pink. That's what I was legally. You know, when I was thinking about Nancy Pelosi and the thing, I saw the movie Legally Blonde, and everything I know about women's beauty parlors. That's what I. Well, that and Steel Magnolias.
I feel like Legally Blonde's not the best example, but okay, Todd.
No, I mean, well, I'm learning. I mean, I know Avery doesn't know anything about the ladies' beauty salons.
Now,
we gotta have a beauty session.
Wait a second.
I have watched Steel Magnolias, so I do know a pretty decent amount about the woman's beauty shop, just based from that movie.
Actually, Avery, you can learn a lot about Southern women from watching that movie.
That's also very true. I love that movie.
Just want to throw that out there. So
that is like one of the only movies that my mom can quote word for word. She always pokes fun at me for being able to quote movies, but she can quote that movie without even thinking.
I will say this. That is one of my all-time favorite movies. It's a fine, fine movie, and it's a great fan. And Julia Roberts did a terrific job. That's before she went woke on us, back in the good old days.
Yep.
All right. 844-747-8868. Let's go to Morehead City, North Carolina. Jim hanging out with us. Now, Jim, I know what you're going to talk about, but I need to set this story up for everybody. And just turn your radio down if you got that on in the background. But here's the story that Jim wants to weigh in on. Yesterday, we told you about Appalachian State University. They had a survey that freshman students in a political science class had to take. Again, it was not a test. It was a survey. And they had to agree or disagree with some pretty outrageous statements, one of them being, if a bunch of bad Republican lawmakers got assassinated, it would not be the end of the world. So that being said, Jim wants to weigh in on that story. Jim, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, Todd. Thanks for having me.
So I understand you have a daughter at Appalachian State.
I do. She's a sophomore this year, transferred from the local community college, is living off campus up there, and I won't go so far as to say she's forced to hide her political views, but obviously in this climate that we live in, it's probably best to hold your cards closer to the vest if you don't agree with the majority of the loud ones walking around you. She forwarded me your article because, oddly enough, she received it from her boyfriend's father, who is an alum from App State. And it seems to be a fairly easy case study for what we're seeing on the news and how these kids are turning into what they are through their lack of actual information and working solely off of the inflamed opinions that they're being provided by those we've entrusted to educate them at the higher levels.
Jim, let me jump in here. By the way, folks, we have the story over at toddstearns.com, and we've listed most of the questions. Jim, to your point, when you read through some of those questions, and what we did, the questions are not like, they're not categorized like we've done it. They're sort of scattered. But when you put all those questions together and categorize them, you get a pretty darn good idea of what they were trying to do to these kids.
Absolutely. And it's, obviously, if you don't agree and you're one of the smaller number in the class who don't, if you speak up, you're going to get ostracized and humiliated and singled out. And therefore, you just have to be quiet and not speak openly like they are in their, sadly deluded and dangerous beliefs.
I had heard one of our other listeners sent me a message last night. They too have a child at Appalachian State, which is in Boone, North Carolina, folks. So it's not exactly Berkeley. But the parent was telling me that Appalachian State is just like Berkeley, and it really is. There is a very strong liberal population on campus.
Absolutely, it's like a baby Berkeley in the mountains. It's a beautiful little town, beautiful campus. A lot of good educators there, but unfortunately, as with most campuses at this point, the most vocal ones have tended to be the ones that are, speaking in the manner that these questions were directed. And for kids that don't have the background, and the parenting to have seen more than just one side, when this is all you're presented, well, of course, these people are professors. They must know what they're talking about. They have to be right, so I should probably listen and believe the same thing. And it's truly scary because, I mean, the 17-year-old kid in Kenosha who was forced to defend himself with an AR-15 while defending businesses of private citizens was attacked by people who think this is the right way to behave and the right way to think and the right way to talk.
And the fact that kid had to do that, Jim, it is scary. The fact the kid had to do that because there was no law enforcement around. They were overwhelmed. Our fellow countrymen in Kenosha were let down by their local and state governments. They were left to their own devices, and that is a frightening thing. But it's also a reminder, and it ought to be a sobering reminder for all of us, that we've got to be prepared. What would you do in that situation? If your child was caught up in something like that, what would you tell your child to do? So those are things that we've got to, we've got to make sure that our families are prepared to handle. Jonathan Gilliam, Sheep No More. It's a terrific book. We've had Jonathan on the show many, many times. But the whole point of that book is prepare yourself. You never know when you're going to find yourself in a situation where you got to protect and defend your life. Jim, hate to do this, but we've got to skedaddle for a break. Thank you, sir, for calling in, and thank you for serving our great nation. I understand you're a Marine Corps veteran, and, man, we salute your service. Thank you for that, Jim. All right, 844-747-8868. By the way, we got a response from the university. I will share that with you after the break here. 844-747-8868. We'll be right back.
From the front lines of the culture war, it's Todd Starnes.
All right, let's get right back to the phones. Terry in Wisconsin wants to weigh in on Chris Wallace from Fox News Channel anchoring the presidential debate. Hi, Terry. What's going on?
Hi, Todd.
All right.
I cannot believe they're going to do Chris Wallace. Why?
Can you believe that?
Why not Maria or anybody else?
You know, I'd like to see Tucker Carlson. Moderate
you know
the
what?
Debates.
Yeah, but he's technically not a journalist. I would love to see Tucker Carlson.
You know, I disagree with that, too. I think that he's just as much a journalist as Chris Wallace is. I mean,
I agree with that.
You know, that's what kills me. Back when I was there, there was that big thing. Well, we're journalists. You know, we're breaking news as well. We break a lot of news on this radio program. You know, but we're honest about it, and we tell people, hey, this is coming from a specific conservative Christian worldview. And if you don't like it, you can go somewhere else. Or if you don't believe what we're saying, Google it and find a second source. But, Chris Wallace, how about that?
I just was so angry when I heard that. I'm like, oh, my gosh, not really.
Yeah.
You know, I grew up, I'm in Wisconsin now. My father moved me from Chicago here to Wisconsin. Because he saw the violence that was going on in the cities. And I grew up Catholic. I grew up Christian. I just cannot believe what's going on in this world.
Terry, I'm curious. You live there in Wisconsin, and we've heard that a lot of people voting Democrat are going Republican just because of what happened in Kenosha. Are you hearing that?
We've been going Republican for a while now. We're all Kyle supporters right now. It's the world has gone mad. I don't know what happened, but you know, we had Scott Walker, he did great, and then we got Governor Evers, and then when the shooting happened in Kenosha, and Walker comes on the radio. I'm at work. I hear it. He's like, well, another black man got shot. I was so angry that he didn't even know.
It's terrible, Terry. And look, we got to leave it there. But, Terry, yeah, I hear you. Y'all got to get rid of that governor, Evers. Jeez, Lou. This is what happens. Folks, if you want anarchy in the streets, vote for the Democrats. If you want law and order, Donald Trump. Black and white issue for me, folks. All right, we'll be right back. Stick around, everybody. All right, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Great to have you with us, folks. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Just a few moments ago, our good friend Hogan Gidley from the Trump campaign on CNN, going toe-to-toe with Jim Sciutto, says, don't pee on my boot and tell me it's raining. That's what he told the CNN anchor. That's brilliant. But he also brought up a very good point. If you do not allow the police to do your job, to do their job, then the American people have to defend themselves in some way. talking about what happened in Kenosha with Kyle Rittenhouse, the guy charged with first-degree murder, the 17-year-old charged with first-degree murder. So, look, the other night I was watching Tucker Carlson and saw the interview he did with David Marcus from The Federalist, and I was, you know, it's not very often that I get moved during an interview, but that particular interview really had an impact on me, and I wanted David to come on the program talking about what's really going on in the streets of New York City, where I lived for 15 years until April when I got the heck out of Dodge and came to Memphis. David Marcus on the Liberty University Newsmaker line. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
Look, I'm a terrific fan of your work, your writing at The Federalist, and what you said about New York City, I'm not sure the average American really truly understands what's happening in that city right now. Do you?
No, I don't. I think it would be difficult. I mean, I think the average American doesn't understand what goes on in New York City in general. We barely understand it, you know, under the best of circumstances. But right now, things have gotten really bad in terms of crime. I mean, literally, children are being gunned down on the streets. When I walk to the grocery store, which I'm lucky enough to do, because as a journalist, I can still work, I walk by food lines that go around entire city blocks. I've never seen it. I've lived in New York City for 20 years. I've never seen anything like that. Our kids can't go to school. You can't sit in a restaurant. I mean, it's just for a city that's so based on going out at night, the city that never sleeps, it's like watching it just slowly die in front of you. It's horrible.
You know, David, I'm with you. I lived in New York City for 15 years and moved at the end of April. I lived in downtown, and it was pretty clear at that point things were not going well. All of the stores boarded up. There's just a lot of uneasiness. People just, you could see people walking down the street, looking over their shoulder. That kind of thing did not happen, you know, just 6 months or, you know, a year ago.
I agree with that. Although, you know, I will say even before the pandemic, our mayor, Bill de Blasio's relationship with the NYPD from the very moment he took office, New York Police Department, has been extremely strained. And what's clear to people in the NYPD who I've spoken to is that they know the mayor doesn't have their back. And that just makes this whole problem so much worse because police have to make instantaneous choices, and sometimes they don't make the very best choice. But they need to know that the system understands that and has their back. And in Bill de Blasio, they have someone who would rather paint, you know, Black Lives Matter in front of Trump Tower. It's very obvious to them.
You know, I was, I've been following some of the blogs over on the Upper West Side, and it's really, you hate to laugh, but and I don't mean it in a mocking way or making fun of, but these are some pretty liberal people. And now their elected leaders are accusing these people of actually being racist and xenophobic simply because they don't want pedophiles and drug addicts and the homeless literally defecating in their neighborhoods. It's really remarkable.
Yeah, it's remarkable and it's unsustainable. I mean, another piece of this, of course, is the absurd bail reform. People may have seen the terrible images from the subway system the other day of a woman being attacked, and that was someone who went through this revolving door of the New York City criminal justice system. And more than anything else, what Rudolph Giuliani was able to do starting in the 1990s was recreate a respect for the rule of law in a place that had none. And we're starting to lose that, and that honestly could have a bigger long-term impact on the city than even the lockdown.
You know, let's just take, you know, and let's talk about that, because there is an element of people in New York City who actually long for the days when Times Square was a cesspool. You know, they miss that so-called character. You know, they don't like the fact that it's been, you know, Disney-fied over the past 10, 20 years. And there is that element there. And sadly, many of those people are in elected office.
Yeah, you know, honestly, I don't know many people who actually remember that, and I'm old enough to remember it, who think going back would be a good idea. You know, people have this strange nostalgia for murder. I don't quite understand why. But you're definitely right in that our elected officials have become increasingly progressive. And it's not just in New York. I mean, one of the things that everybody needs to pay attention to is that organizations like Justice Democrats and these far left socialist organizations, what they do really, really well is win small municipal elections. Look at the city council in Minneapolis. Look at the city council in Seattle. These people are not reflective of the people who live there. Look at the DA. That's another really insidious thing that the progressives will do. They get a DA elected who won't prosecute people. So this is something that I think Republicans and moderate Democrats need to be paying attention to, because as we've seen all across the country, it has an enormous impact.
David, I'm curious about your observations on the city's recovery. First of all, there's no end in sight to the shutdowns of the businesses. What can you tell us, first of all, about those small businesses? How many are just shutting down? They're not going to be able to reopen.
The numbers are a little bit hard to pin down exactly, but it's a huge percentage of businesses that are going to shut down, not only because they don't have the capital that they need to keep covering their overhead, but because New York City is bleeding so many, you know, citizens to other places. As I said on Tucker last night, it's like, you know, Moses has parted the Hudson River. There's so many people leaving this city that there's just going to be less money to be made. So it's a spiral, and there's only one answer. And I don't understand why our political leadership doesn't see it. The only answer is to open the city back up. It's the only thing that will make any considerable difference.
You're right. And even the bigger issue is how few people were actually paying a majority of the taxes. Those folks are long gone, and you wonder if they will ever come back. Looking at Wall Street, I mean, I think people are finding out, discovering they can do their business anywhere else in the country right now.
Yeah, they can. Now I'm optimistic about a couple things in regard to what will happen with New York City. I don't anticipate telecommuting to have as drastic an impact as some people do, because I don't think that's why people choose to live in the city. People choose to live in the city because they like the hustle, the bustle. They like the speed of it. They like to walk fast. That, you know, they like all the things that, like, people who don't live in New York City, the reasons why they say, I would never want to live in New York City. So I do think that there will be demand for that. And I think that historically, in periods when New York goes through a tough time, like World War II or like the mid-70s or the late 80s, it does tend to bounce back for that reason. But like I said, the longer we stay locked down, the longer it's going to take to get to that place. And it's very frustrating.
No, I hear you. And now, what part of the city do you live in?
I live in a neighborhood called Bay Ridge, Brooklyn, which is down at the very bottom of Brooklyn. And it's actually the congressional district of Max Rose, who is the one Democrat in New York City who has a considerable challenge from a woman named Nicole Malliotakis. That was a Republican seat for many years that Max Rose won back in 2018. So we do actually have one pretty competitive congressional race.
Well, I know that that's the R train commute right there, my friend. So I used to get off on the Union Street stop on that train.
Sure.
So yeah. I know Bay Ridge quite well. It's a great area. That's one of the for people who watch the TV show on CBS, Blue Bloods. That's where the family kind of resides there, and that a lot of police
officers.
That's
where a lot of police and firemen live in Bay Ridge. It's very much that kind of
great area. That's a great area of the city too. So, all right. Well, David, look, I really appreciate you coming on, and it was a terrific interview on Tucker. And folks, you got to check out his great work at thefederalist.com. David, love to get you back on the show sometime soon.
That'd be great. Thank you so much for having me.
All right, David Marcus, folks, and it is sad. I love New York City. It's a crazy place, but it's a lot of fun, a lot of culture, a lot of crazy stuff going on there, and a lot of good people, hard-working people. And, you know, we like to poke fun at, you know, a lot of the liberals and the millennial youngsters and all that kind of stuff. But the reality is those kids who are coming from places like Morehead City, North Carolina, and Tulsa, Oklahoma, and Memphis, Tennessee, and Little Rock, moving to New York City to make their mark on the world, to become a star on Broadway. You know, those kids are working 2-3 jobs, and they're living in an apartment with 5 or 6 other people, and it is a tough life. But that's part of the vibe of the city. And I'm look, David seems to be fairly optimistic. I don't know about that. This is not, a lot of people are comparing what's happening right now in New York to 9/11. This is not 9/11. This is, like David said, this is going back to the 1970s, where you had just great unrest and great poverty and incredible crime in the city. And it took a Republican by the name of Rudy Giuliani to come in and clean up the mess. So we'll see how this goes. But I'm telling you, folks, it's going to be a long recovery, not just for New York, but for the rest of the country. We got to take a break. 844-747-8868. Toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. We'll be right back.
It's Radio Free America. Todd Starnes.
Well, this item just coming in from the hometown here, Memphis, the Peabody Hotel. Have you been to the Peabody? One of the prettiest hotels out there in America. They got the ducks in the lobby. I was a duck master once. It was a lot of fun. The famed Peabody Hotel in Memphis just announced there will be permanent layoffs. That's permanent layoffs. No word on the status of the ducks, but no surprise there because you can't do anything out on Beale Street. And I suppose the situation is very similar in your communities as well. Unbelievable. All right. You know what? Time now. We have a lot of police news across the Fruited Plain. Time now for the Todd Starnes Radio Show Police Blotter.
Keeping you updated on crimes sweeping across the Fruited Plain.
I ain't scared of no popo car, the popo car, the popo.
This is the Starnes APB.
And I just want to say something before we get started here. Grace Baker, who compiled this debauchery today, there's some freaky stuff going down across the Fruited Plain.
Yes, I thought it's sad, but also entertaining. You gotta laugh, right?
Avery, cover your ears. That's all I can tell you. Cover your ears, Avery.
I feel like these were some of the more tame ones, too.
That's even worse.
Yes.
So here we go. Let's start in Florida. There's always weird stuff going on down in Florida.
I know.
You know, we're talking about retirees. They ought to be like, you know.
I guess they get bored.
You can only play so much canasta. A 74-year-old Florida landlord shoved a female tenant and then stole a Donald Trump flag that was displayed in the victim's yard. Cops say that Joseph Mazzara went into the closed backyard of the victim to steal a Trump flag. He's now facing all sorts of charges. You can't be pushing ladies like that, sir. Unbelievable. So there you go. We got that story.
He wasn't raised right, man. You don't hit a woman.
No, you don't. You know, she should have smacked him upside the head with the Trump flag there. All right. Ace is the place where a COVIDiot will cough in your face. That's a clever headline. After repeatedly being asked to wear a mask inside an Ace Hardware store, a Florida man, again, it's Florida, allegedly coughed directly in the face of an employee, then backhanded the employee, striking a customer in the face. Jeez, this guy, Russell Wood, 51 years old, arrested for battery, Tampa Bay area. The guy is 6'6", 200 pounds. It wasn't a smack in the face. You went through the wall. This guy has a very, very unpleasant-looking mugshot. Not a good mugshot. All right, there you go. Oh, gotta love this story. Motorist was watching movie when his Tesla crashed into a cop car. That's never a good thing.
Those Teslas.
Devandier Goley is a 66-year-old emergency room doctor from Raleigh, North Carolina. It was on Highway 64. And I guess so. The Tesla was what, driving itself? It was
it
an autopilot.
It does have that feature.
The autopilot. You see, I could never do that, guys.
It's like some really advanced cruise control sort of stuff. It's not necessarily completely driving by itself.
It's just asking to get hacked, too. I feel like somebody could hack into the car.
Exactly.
Take control. That's what freaks me out.
That's why I'm not a huge fan of Teslas.
Well, the good, you know what? We have that feature on the Cadillac, you know, where, but it's the lane. So if you veer out of the lane, it'll correct, and it drives me nuts because, you know, it fights with you if you're trying. It just does. It's very bad. Dr. Goley, by the way, was traveling home. He was watching a movie. A sheriff's deputy and a state trooper were on the side of the road. They were knocked to the pavement in the crash. Nobody was seriously hurt. He told the police that the Tesla was in autopilot mode.
What?
So, incredible.
Have you seen these Teslas before? Like, have you seen like the newest model of a Tesla?
I have not.
The reason he's watching a movie is because the entire console is basically like a giant iPad tablet.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, it is cool, but apparently not in this case when you're running into police officers when you're watching a movie when you should be, you know, keeping your eyes on the road.
All right, on to the next story here, and this is where we get freaky, folks. Again, Florida. A Florida man was arrested for running in the street unclothed. That's what we call buck naked in the South. Buck naked. He did so. The naked jog was done on after a friend dared him. Now, it's one thing if you're, I guess, 13 years old and you're a friend dares you to go streaking. Okay, that's one thing. But when you're 58 years old, you don't need to be taking off your clothes and running around buck naked in public.
No one needs to see that.
Nobody, definitely this guy. He's probably had a little bit too much barbecue.
A little too much Taco Bell.
All right, second naked story. An Oklahoma man arrested Saturday night for going through a Taco Bell drive-thru buck naked.
What?
Mm-hmm. Sir, please take your hand off the chalupa.
Oh, my gosh.
So this guy, Christopher Sale, again, 61 years old. What the heck is going on there? 61 years old.
I'm telling you, these retired people are just bored.
Yeah, they don't give like a flip about any of this sort of stuff.
No, they really don't.
That is a depraved generation right there. Christopher Sale, 61 years old, was placing an order through the drive-thru when the drive-thru clerk went to, you know how you have to lean out to give them the change?
Oh, no.
She looked down and...
she had a view she didn't want to see.
Happy birthday!
Was he in a car at least?
She was running for the border, I'll tell you that much. All right. Wow, that's your crime news. We had three more buck naked stories to get to. We'll have to save those for tomorrow. All right. Hey, look, we've got to take a break here. Your calls coming up. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show.